Colossians 4, beginning in verse 1, the first four verses this evening, and we're titling this Praying for Open Doors. That's the thought we find. He says here in verse 1, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight again that thy blessings, thy anointing to be upon the reading of Holy Scripture, and Father, that you speak to our hearts this evening as we come to this particular text, which in Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. You may be seated. This is our first message in this chapter. We finished up chapter 3 last week from verse 22 through 25 and looking at servants and masters. And I actually come into chapter 4 and commented on verse 1. So I'm not going to spend any time on verse 1 this evening. I just wanted to keep this in chapter 4. As far as keeping the chapters together. Notice with me as we come now, verse 1, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Now I'm going to kind of pick up our text here in verse 2. He says, Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Now we find here in verse 2, he says, continue in prayer. Continue in prayer. In other words, it speaks of perseverance. And this is something that we see all through the Scriptures. In other words, stay with it, hang in there, continue doing what you're doing, being faithful and never quitting. So we find here, first of all, he asked or speaks to them about continue in prayer. And then he says, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, when we get into verse 3, he not only tells them to continue in their prayer and what they're doing, but he asks them to pray for him and his co-laborers. And that's what we'll focus in on here in just a moment. But you'll notice that he says in verse 3 again, continue in prayer. In other words, speaks of perseverance. Continue doing what you're doing. Continue faithfully. Now, there's many passages in the Scripture that speak of this. We know that in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, and I go back there a lot because we see the beginnings of the early church. We see one of the main emphases that we find in verse 41 through 47 is that they continued not only in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread, but they continued in prayer, plural, continued in prayer. And we find them before Pentecost in the upper room in Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. We also find them praying when it comes to the election or choosing of an apostle to replace Judas Iscariot. We find them again, they're together as you begin Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost in verse 1. We find Peter and others praying in chapter 3 and all through the book of Acts. We see the importance of prayer. Now, he says in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always. We'll turn there a little later and read that. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, the apostle says, giving ourselves continually to prayer. Acts chapter 10 and verse 2, in reference to Cornelius, it says, and it prayed to God always. In Luke chapter 21:36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Romans 12 and verse 12, continuing instant in prayer, and Philippians 4, 6, but in everything by prayer. And so we find another number of scripture that support this, and that is to persevere in this, to hang in there, to stay with it, to be faithful, to never quit praying and seeking the Lord. Now, notice he uses another word here. He says in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Well, there's two other thoughts here. We find praying and watching, and these two words are together many times. The word watch, and we'll look at thanksgiving in just a moment, but the word watch, again, is associated with prayer many times. It means to be alert, be aware of our spiritual danger around us, to have our eyes fixed upon the Lord. It has the idea of being sober also. Sometimes you might have prayer and watchfulness and soberness connected together. And there's many verses that we find in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew 26, verse 38 through about verse 45, the Lord is encouraging His disciples to watch and pray. The night before the crucifixion, very intense prayer with our Lord. His sweat was that great drops of blood. And they were falling asleep, the disciples were. And He asked them to pray. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you can write this down in verse 6. It's contrasting the day and the night, the children of the light and the children of night or darkness. And He said in verse 6, He said, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We find this again in 1 Peter 4, 7. We also find this thought in Romans in chapter 13. And we find here in this passage from verse 11 through verse 14. He says, and that knowing that the time that now it is high time to awake out of the sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, and not in chambering wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Again, we see in this passage about waking up, being alert, and not being asleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. And we'd find this thought also, if you're taking notes, in 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse 34. The Apostle Paul here writing to the church at Corinth, he said in verse 34, he said, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So in our text, there's basically three words that jump out at us, and it is continue in prayer, and then watch, and then he says, in the same with thanksgiving, with thanksgiving. And we would find in our text here, in Colossians 1:12, he mentions the fact of thanksgiving, praying with thanksgiving, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We see again, as we studied in the weeks past, in chapter 3, in verse 15 and 16, he said, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. In verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace, notice, in your heart to the Lord. We're to be thankful. Again, in verse 17 of chapter 3, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So we see three major thoughts in verse 2, and then when we get into chapter 3, we see another thought here. But in verse 2, we're to continue in prayer. We're to continue to watch, be alert, have our eyes fixed upon the Lord, be sober. And then number 3, in verse 2, we are to be thankful. When we come before the Lord in prayer and we're watchful, we're to be thankful also. And when we think of this subject of thanksgiving, in other words, not have an ungrateful heart or an ungrateful spirit. I've read this to you before, but Matthew Henry, he was robbed one time. And when he prayed that night, here's what he said. He said, I thank thee first because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. Now that's a thankful heart. He had four things that he thanked the Lord about when he was robbed. So that's a very thankful heart. And that's what we see here. And all through the scriptures we find the issue of prayer, the issue of thankfulness. Prayer is mentioned more than probably any other doctrine in the Bible, and so few really pray and seek the Lord as they should. We find the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9 and 10. Him humbly coming before the Lord and pouring out his heart, and the Lord granting him his request. That's an amazing passage. Daniel 6 and verse 10, when the prayer was outlawed, Daniel did not have to start doing anything. He was already praying three times a day there in Babylon. He would face Jerusalem, where the city of God was and where the temple once dwelt. And it was prayer that kept Daniel out of the lion's den. But I hear people sometimes... something will happen, you know. They'll finally get a hold on this thing with abortion, or maybe it's the transgender going to read in the library, you know, here in Mobile this coming month, and things of that nature. And people will call me and say, "Man, we've got to do something. We've got to start praying." I said, "Well, that's what we've been doing all along. We've been praying. We've been doing something. We've been standing, you know, against these things." And people act like, you know, "Well, we've got to do something." I said, "We've been doing something. Where have you been?" You know, and that's what Daniel did. Daniel just kept doing what he was doing. He was serving God. He was praying. He was faithful. I mean, you figure going before the Lord three times a day there in Babylon. We find in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8, where that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That would fit into our context here as well. And he gives an illustration of a woman going before an unjust judge, and she would not quit. She would not quit, and he finally gave her request. And the Lord said in verse 8 of that passage, he said, "When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith?" In other words, shall he find faithful people praying and persevering in their walk with the Lord? Then in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, the disciples came to the Lord Jesus and said, Teach us how to preach. Was that what he said? No, he didn't. They didn't say that. They said, "Teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples." And then we have the Lord's Prayer. And then he gives a few illustrations how that God, in other words, seeking and asking and knocking, and how that the Lord will listen to our prayers. Well, notice in verse 2 again, in verse 2, he says here, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Now notice in verse 3, he said, "with all," that means together, with one another, with each other, in accessory prayer. He says in verse 3, "with all praying also for us." So The Apostle Paul is adding something here now. He knows that the church is praying. He says, continue to do that. Now he says, pray for us. That is him and his co-workers. And keep in mind that the Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome. And when he writes this letter, he's under house arrest, and he speaks of the importance of the gospel, open doors. He's asking for their prayer, but he does not ask them necessarily to pray for his release. He's praying, notice in verse 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, he's in prison, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, in verse 4. So his request is that they would pray for him and his co-workers, those with him, and that they would pray for open doors, an open door of utterance, that is, opportunities to be able to speak the mystery of Christ. Now, let me say this. Don't ever quit praying for sicknesses and infirmities, and we need to continue to do that. And don't think that what I'm getting ready to say, that you should not do that. I expect you to bring those up tonight. But let us meditate also on praying for open doors of opportunity. Now, this is so important, and we see it all through the Scripture, and I'm going to show you some verses in just a moment, that we would pray for open doors, because it is the Lord that opens and closes doors. And so he's talking about an open door of utterance, that is, opportunities to speak the truth, the mystery of Christ. I want you to notice in Ephesians chapter 6, and notice here a very similar passage to the church at Ephesus. The importance of the saints praying. We see this in the Scripture. We see it in church history. Dr. J. Wilburn Chapman, in his first pastorate in Philadelphia, had this experience. One of his laymen said, "You're not a strong preacher, and you will fail here in this church." But a little group of laymen have agreed to gather every Sunday morning and pray for you. Dr. Chapman saw that group grow to 1,000 men gathered weekly to pray for the preacher. And he said any pastor could succeed if a group of leaders would back him up. In other words, people praying for the ministers, people praying for open doors, people praying for the gospel, that it would go forth, that people would hear the truth and believe it. This must be a part of our prayers. We have worked in the abortion ministry for a little over 14 and a half years. January the 1st will be 15 years. And we've seen one clinic close a little over 10 years ago. And now with Planned Parenthood, we've got them under investigation. And the best I understand, and as of yesterday, now they're not closed, but as of yesterday, they have not killed a baby in Mobile and Planned Parenthood Clinic, which is the only clinic left in Mobile, in 17 months. 17 months. Now, how did that come about? We don't know what the end results are going to be. I ask people nearly every day, in person or on the phone, have your church praying that God will shut this down, because I believe in the prayer of the saints. And that's what we're reading about here with the Apostle Paul. And so we've done the work. We're keeping a vigil on the place now, but there's nothing else we can do. And we were able to bring charges against them with the health department and some violations and things of that nature. And it's really out of our hands unless the Lord intervenes. So I beg people to pray that this place will be closed down. Well, we need to pray like that, not only for the death mills, the murder mills, as someone used to call it, but also for doors to be open, that we have opportunities when we go to the missions and preach, and that just doors would be open. We should never lose sight of this. Now, notice we find the apostle asking the church at Colossae now to pray for him and those with him that they would have an open door of utterance that they might be able to preach the word of God. Well, let me give you a few other examples of this. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 18 to 20. Now, he's closing this letter, as in Colossae, and he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Similar language as in Colossians. In verse 19, notice this, and for me. See, he's telling them to pray. He's telling them to pray with praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching and perseverance and supplication for all saints. And he says, and for me. Reason? That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now watch this, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, in prison, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So again, he's saying, pray that even in bonds, that open doors of utterance will be here, that he may, again, here he calls it the mystery of the gospel. In Colossians, he calls it the mystery of Christ. We have two or three sermons, one titled The Mysteries of God, preached this year. We have another in a few years ago titled The Mystery of Christ. But we find here, again, you notice his prayer. The man is in bonds. He's in prison. And he's praying, not as much for his release. I'm sure he'd like to be released. And I think he mentions that in Philippians. But he says he is in bonds for Christ's sake and for the gospel's sake. And he said, pray that doors would be opened. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, so this must become a major part of our prayers. The church at Philadelphia, if you're taking notes, in Revelation 3, when John writes to this church, he speaks of the key of David in verse 7, verse 8, and verse 9. And he says that the Lord has the key of David. He openeth, no man shutteth, no man openeth. And he prayed, and he said, I have set before thee an open door. What is that? That's an opportunity. And the reason he opened a door to the church at Philadelphia is because even though he said, thou hast little strength, they were small in numbers, he says, but you have kept my word and you have not denied my name. In other words, because of their faithfulness, he opened a door of opportunity to them. And we find this thought all through the Scripture. We find that in Acts 14:27, there was an open door of faith unto the Gentiles. When Paul is speaking there in Antioch, then goes to Jerusalem, that the Lord had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And we know Cornelius has been saved, and many Gentile churches were established. It's actually called He opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. We know also that in Acts 12, verses 5 through 9, that through the prayer of the saints, and especially in verse 5, I believe it is, in verse 14, we find that through the prayer of the saints, they're in a home praying fervently for Peter. And we find that the Lord, because of their prayers, He opened the door of the prison. The angel came and Peter was loosed. We also know that the Lord opens hearts. We find that in Acts 16:14 that the Lord opened Lydia's heart, that she would listen to the preaching of the Apostle Paul. Well, notice here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'm not going to read the whole context, but notice in verse 9, and this is where that the apostle is taking up funds, and he was wanting to go through and visit with some of these churches, and he's taking up funds for the saints at Jerusalem, and he said in verse 9, he said, "For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." So the Lord opens doors. We would see this again in 2 Corinthians 2:12. I'm not going to turn there, but we see this thought again. But now notice with me as we turn to Acts chapter 28. And I want you to notice that God did answer prayers, and He did open doors. I believe He answered the Colossians' prayer, the church at Ephesus, their prayers. And notice in Acts 28, reading from verse 30 and 31, and notice that their prayers were answered in the fact that Paul was 2 years in his own hired house, and, as a prisoner in Rome, but God sent people to him so that he could minister to them. Now, notice this, verse 30 and 31. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. He's in prison, and the door of utterance is open wide for these 2 years that he ministered to many people. And that's what he prayed for. But notice now in Philippians, in the book of Philippians, and I'm reading, first of all, in chapter 1, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Philippians chapter 1. Now notice here, as we come to this passage, in prison, people are getting saved and strengthened in the Lord, even in Caesar's court. We read in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, it said, "For..." Let me make sure that I get there correctly. All right, verse 12 and 13. "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Now think about that. He speaks of his bonds in verse 7. But he says that some things have fallen out to the furtherance of the gospel, verse 13, "so that my bonds in Christ are manifest," notice, "in all the palace and in all other places." Folks were saved and folks were strengthened even through the truth while he was in prison. But notice in chapter 4, verse 22, as he closes this letter, He says in verse 21 and 22, "Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you." Now watch this. "And all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." They, some folks got saved in Caesar's court, in Nero's court. Some folks had gotten saved. Now, how did all that happen? How in the world could this happen? Well, the saints are praying, and Paul had 2 years where his own hired house. He had a soldier with him, but he had the opportunity. People could come and go. And he took 2 years ministering to people before that he was martyred, before he died. And this is how he prayed. Now notice back in Colossians, in verse 3 again, chapter 4, Colossians 4, and he said in verse 3, "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." So the mystery of Christ, we will find this principle. We just read it in Ephesians 6. But we'll find it in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, stewards of the mysteries of God. I just preached on that recently. We will find it in Colossians 1, verse 26 and 27. There he speaks of the dispensation of God, which was given to him to fulfill the word of God, the mystery, which had been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. He speaks of this, the glory, the riches of the glory of this mystery in verse 27, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He speaks in Ephesians 2, verses 4, he mentions again, he says, "Whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." And he speaks again in verses 1 through verse 11 or 12, in this passage about the Gentiles receiving this truth, becoming of the same body and part of the church by the gospel. And he says that his desire, listen to this in Ephesians 3, 8 and 9, he said, "And to me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Now listen to verse 9, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." His whole life and desire was that all men would see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That is what you say, what is that? Well, it speaks of Christ and his church, the great accomplishments on the cross, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's called the mystery of the gospel in Ephesians chapter 6, where we just read. And so we find here is that God's great plan of redemption, that's the way that we can sum this up, his church, the body, Christ, the cross, Calvary, that has to do with the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel. And so as the apostle is praying, he's asking this church that they would continue praying, but they would also pray for him and those that are with him, that they might be able to speak this truth. Now, one of the reasons this is so important, people need to understand the gospel, the truth, and the word of God. They need to understand these things. Apollos was a great preacher, and you'll find him in Acts 18, verse 24 through 27. But the Bible tells us there that he preached, he was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he taught diligently the things of the Lord at that time, knowing only the baptism of John. And this is where that Aquila and Priscilla, that they took him unto themselves. And it says they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. We all need to understand the way of God more perfectly. And you know that our friends and neighbors and relatives and co-workers, they need this. Brother Sister Joanne and I were just talking about that this morning. The importance of the truth of the Word of God that is just seen to be slipping away from the majority of people. Well, our brother that visited here last Sunday night, he was going to try to come back tonight and he couldn't make it. But Brother Rodney, he told me, and I hope he don't mind me saying this, but he told me weeks ago, and I think I mentioned this to you, he said, the more I pray, the more I enjoy praying. And both y'all are shaking your heads. The more I pray, the more I enjoy praying. And I said, that's the way it's supposed to be. And you don't hear many people say that. And I appreciated hearing that. And he's been fervently praying for particular things, and especially in his own city, in his own state, in Mississippi. He's been praying even for the leaders and things of that nature. But one last thing. Spurgeon was asked one time, you know, the church there in London called the Tabernacle, huge, huge auditorium, seat hundreds and hundreds or thousands that literally came to hear him preach. And I think he's the only preacher that I know of that would ever periodically would ask a lot of the members of the congregation not to come on a particular service so that visitors could get in. But anyway, he was asked one time, and there was a Monday night prayer meeting, by the way, that just was amazing at the people that got involved in it. But he was asked one time about this huge building, this huge sanctuary. Where was the furnace room, the person had said, and to heat in this large church? And he took him to a large empty room. And he said, when I preach, there are 600 men praying for me during the service. He said, this is our furnace room. Would you stand with me tonight? Father, we thank Thee for this evening, this morning that You've given us to come and, Lord, and to pray together and to look into Thy Word, to preach Your Word, to expound upon it, and to sing the songs of Zion. We thank You, Lord, for that privilege that You've given us this day. And Father, we just thank Thee for loving us. We thank Thee for the truth You've given us, the salvation to our souls, the eternal life that we have. But Lord, we thank Thee for the privilege You've given us to serve You. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.